wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger. And so I thought it would be fun to just think about that a little bit more and to tease out, well, what would people expect? What are other things that people might have expected as a sign of a great Saviour coming to earth? And so I've got this little video. It's only a very short one that I thought would just help us tease out that thinking and help us to think through. It's the amazing notion that God came as a baby to earth. So let me share this now. It was a very laggy video, wasn't it? That didn't go plan at all. And apologize for that, but hopefully you got the gist of what was going on there through the words. As that kid listens to what's going on, you get these different ideas of, well, what would you expect a Saviour coming to save the world? And it is extraordinary that God, in his infinite wisdom and his great goodness, comes as a baby. And there's much to think on in that he comes into our existence as a baby in the most humble and fragile form, to experience existence alongside of us, which is incredible, remarkable. Well, we are going to sing or hum once more, and this time it's the song "O Holy Night." So I'm going to hand over to our song leaders as we humming. We are going to hear our next reading. So Dean's going to read to us from Matthew 2. Thanks very much, Dean. We are talking about living in a broken world, and I have, as I've approached this, I wonder what a broken world looks like for you. I wonder what's going on in your particular time and space, in the situations that you're in. I wonder what are the things that are broken for you at this time. And there are many things that could be broken at this time, aren't there? 2 years ago, you know the journey that, most of you know the journey that the Gray families had 2 years ago. My oldest daughter, Annabelle, was diagnosed with a Wilms tumour cancer. And I remember that day very clearly. I was over at the Adams house. Mike Adams was our student minister at the time. And I was there and I got a call from Lisa, and I didn't even need to hear the words that Lisa said. I just had to hear the tone to know that there was something serious going on. A standard ultrasound had picked up something big that dwarfed that little girl's kidney. And in that moment, plans changed. Everything was altered and things were quite broken, really. A lot of things changed at that moment for the next few months. We got off pretty lightly, I've got to say, in that journey. Who I really want to talk to you about is another mum that we met in the oncology treatment centre. And I think I've showed you once Annabelle's string of beads, which is her journey in cancer. Each little bead is a procedure that the kids get. It's a great way to remember what's happened. Annabelle's is about this long, but we met this lady who had two daughters, and one of them had gone the same route as Annabelle, and another one had leukemia. And I remember passing the room where the girl with leukemia was, and her bead string went from the top curtain rail down to the bed rail, back up to the curtain rail, and then back down to the bed rail. And when you know what those beads mean, it really causes you to stop and pause and think. And right there, in a quick freeze frame, was a picture of something's broken. Something is really crook. What's crook in your world? What's going on in your world that you know is broken? And some of you are waiting for tests and test results, and others of you have broken relationships. Maybe there's financial difficulties. Maybe this time of year is actually not a happy time because it reminds you of something else. Maybe it's grief. There are all sorts of things that can cause you to feel that your situation is broken. And I know it's a cliche, but I'm still going to say it, but what a year 2020 has been. If there was a year in which things got broken, this was the year, wasn't it? I mean, we could probably say that of during the world wars. There's probably the Great Depression. I mean, you could say it at other times, that's true. But this year has had its challenges. Borders closed, separations enforced, all sorts of things have gone into this year that have made it pretty tough. So I think give yourself credit, recognize that. Accept it and affirm it for what it is. It has been difficult. And I think that 2010 reminds us of how broken the world can be. We all know that, but it's put in our face once again, and we remember, yes, there are things that are crook and that we see around us, and if we're honest, that we see in ourselves as well. And here's what I want to say to you as we think about that and as we bring in the Christmas story. What I want to say is that on that first Christmas as well, things were broken. You have Joseph and Mary facing broken circumstances. You see, Joseph is looking forward to being married. What an exciting time of life to be engaged and to be looking forward to that wedding. Everything is looking good, and then something gets broken. Mary is pregnant out of wedlock. It doesn't look good. Those are the circumstances, that's what he faces, and suddenly his neat, tidy world is not as tidy and neat as he would like it. For Mary's part, she had her perfect path to wedded bliss railroaded. What would Joseph think? What was she to do? What will others think? Joseph and Mary need their world fixed, and the truth is that we all desperately long for a fixed world, don't we? We want to see better times, better circumstances, better situations. Joseph doesn't see a path ahead. He plans to divorce Mary. We read that he's a man faithful to the law and also of good character. And I say that because he wants to spare Mary as much of the public shame as he possibly can. And so he seeks a quiet divorce. It speaks of his character. He doesn't want to cause pain. But there is more pain that stands ahead, isn't there? The moment is tense with the pain of another broken relationship and the prospect of future sadness. It's a broken situation in that sense. And it looks hopeless because he's going down the path of divorce. But God steps in and an angel speaks to Joseph, and Luke tells us of another angel speaking to Mary as well. Joseph's told, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. He's told that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit and that he is to name his son Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that's what Jesus' name means. Jesus means the Lord saves. It's related to those Hebrew words that mean the Lord saves. So here's the thing that I want you to observe from this Christmas story. Essentially, nothing changes in the situation. Mary is still pregnant. But something has changed, hasn't it? Because Joseph is starting to see that God is at work in the middle of that broken situation. He sees God in the middle of it. And then everything is changed. And the wonder of it all is that Joseph is hearing firsthand about the personal zeal of the Lord to save his people that has entered into his time and space, into his situation, and is reaching in to change that brokenness into something wonderful, incredible. And Christmas reminds us that God isn't distant to our brokenness. He's not distant to our disappointments. He's not distant to our despair. Jesus, the Lord saves, came down as a baby in a manger. There's no better way to say that God is with us, alongside of us, in our existence, than Jesus coming as a baby into our world. God is with us, Emmanuel. And so he hasn't left them abandoned, helpless and hopeless, and he hasn't left us helpless and abandoned and hopeless. God isn't removed, and he isn't without zeal. This is his plan and his purpose, and he stands and he longs to see this through. God isn't removed because he breathes the air that we breathe. He stands in the brokenness of our situation, and he's not at a distance. And this is why Christmas is so wonderful. Let me make two quick statements. Here's the theology of the passage in a sentence. Christ is the Savior for our sin. He came to fix it and to give us a renewed existence. And here's the application: to live with hope out of that knowledge, because he came for you and for me. And that's what the significance of Christmas drives us towards. In the middle of whatever brokenness you are facing, and I don't know what that is, but there are many and there are varied circumstances and situations that weigh heavily, in the middle of it, you can know hope. And Christmas tells us that. What's your brokenness? Is it separation? Is it loneliness? Financial hardship, barrenness, grief, fear of the future, health challenges, you name it. Is it the loss of holidays, of future prospects, jobs? What is it that is your brokenness? Whatever it is, Christmas reminds us that we do have hope, because Christ was born, because baby Jesus grew up, and he suffered, and he died for us, in our place, for our sins. And because of his sacrifice on our behalf, we can know peace with God, we can have hope, and we can live out of that hope. And that's why Christmas is so wonderful. Christians can live with hope in the middle of brokenness because they've seen not God doing it begrudgingly, they've seen God's zeal for his people in action on their behalf. The brokenness of this world, it's met its match and it has its fix. And we've seen the curtain rolled back. In Jesus' life, we saw people got healed. We saw storms and winds got calmed. People with all sorts of hang-ups found release. We saw the curtain rolled back on what that hope looks like as it enters into people's life. And Jesus overcomes death and separation from God, and he restores relationship between people. And so we don't have to hope in the sense that we hope it might happen. We hope because we have a certain hope that we have seen in action through Jesus and his life on earth. So bring your brokenness to him this morning in all its forms. Trust him to have it in hand and live out of hope, because that's what Christmas brings us, great hope. And if you have that hope, that translates into joy. We're going to pray, but I always think that after I speak up the front here, jumping into prayer seems so hurried sometimes to do it straight after we have a talk. Sometimes I feel like we need a little bit of a stretch to ponder what it is that we've taken in, to think about our own brokenness and to have that opportunity to bring it to him. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a video, and I'm really hoping it doesn't lag, and I'm really hoping it works. But we're going to I particularly want to play this song, which I think reminds us of how good God is. And I hope it'll speak to you, and I hope that as we come to prayer straight after this song, that you'll be in a place where you've taken in the greatness of God, his goodness, seen that he comes for broken people, for unfaithful people even, who reach out to him, and just how good he is. And he could be good for you as well. Let me try and share this video now.